I'd like to read with the Lord's help this evening from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 25-37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer to the Lord. Truly, I'm sure we all are very familiar with this passage. So as we would meditate upon this scripture, the parable of the Good Samaritan, I'm sure that we'll have many reminders of things that we already know, have already learned. But reminders are good for us. They refresh us, they encourage us, they help us to keep going. And there is a lesson for us, for each of us, to learn again from familiar passages like this. We see a certain lawyer stands up, and it says he tempted Jesus. Many times the Pharisees, the priests, they would ask questions trying to catch Jesus. But in this case, it is a question. And it's a question to test him, like a lawyer to a rabbi, seeing who can ask the most difficult question, and can the teacher answer? He brings a hard question. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This has been a hard question for generations. If you just think about it, all the generations that have come, and all the people that have lived on this earth, how many countless millions or billions? And they had one thing in common for sure, that this physical life ended. So the question, how can I inherit eternal life? Who can answer it? Even in the garden, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, Scripture says that the way of the tree of life was kept by a cherubim and a sword, a flaming sword that pointed in all the different directions. It's going to be a hard question to answer. And so the lawyer brings it up to Jesus. And reminds us, Jesus is willing to answer. Jesus is willing to help. When questions are hard and burdens are heavy. And that is an encouragement to our faith. That there is nothing that is too hard for him. Pick the hardest question. Pick the most difficult situation. How do you get out? Where do you turn? Take it to the Lord. There's nothing that's too hard for him. We're reminded in Peter, 1 Peter, his letter in the last chapter about bringing our burdens to the Lord. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a precious reminder. All your care can be brought to him. All your burdens and your hardest questions. But it's all too easy to recognize that we don't. That I don't. There are mid-grade challenges that I kind of see how I could maybe plan a little bit and figure out how to maneuver and solve this problem. And oftentimes fail to turn it to the Lord. But when the problem is so great, when the question is so hard, we find there's nowhere to turn. And then we call on God. And that's where the verse before this comes into play, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Hard questions bring us to a point of humility. The biggest challenges in life bring us to a point of humility. And so it's not just casting our care upon him, but this first part. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I've got a problem. I don't know where to turn. I have no one that can help me. Lord, I need you. Without God's help, I'm weak and I'm unable. And I'm relying on God's strength. Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's where hard questions bring us. And then we're ready to really cast all of our care upon him. And then comes the final promise, that comfort. It comes when we come to the end of ourselves and find that, yes, the Lord and his grace is sufficient for us. And we find, yes, he does care for us. A good reminder as this lawyer brings a very hard question to Jesus, that we can bring our hard questions to him as well. Jesus does not, in this account, answer him directly, but responds with a question. As we often say, the Word of God is like a mirror. It's going to speak to us, but it's going to reflect about what's within. He says, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" What did you read that was important to you? What do you believe about the Word of God that stands out as the thing that will find the answer to your problem? Well, if I had to answer that question, the man says, I would answer it this way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus responds, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And the conversation could have ended right there. It was right. There's nothing more that needed to be said. The answer to his question was near to him. The answer to the question was in the Word. And there is blessing when we take the Word, when we acknowledge it, and when we carry it out simply as it is given. You can read even in the last chapter of the Bible where Jesus speaks yet again. He says, behold, in Revelation chapter 22, starting with verse 12, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. To hear the command of Jesus, to hear the command of God. Apostle Paul, he speaks about the same sort of thing in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, Apostle Paul advises the believers, he teaches them, and he says, owe no man anything, starting with verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's beautiful. The teaching of Apostle Paul, he mentions the commands, but he goes on to the putting on of Christ, to the following Jesus Christ as he beckons to us to take up his cross and to follow him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ is the command. We know these things. This man knew these things. But he didn't want to stop the conversation right there. It says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? With the desire to be able to say, I have the answer, just like I am, without any change, without any cost to me. That's what self-justification is. That's what self-justification is in the face of simple faith in the Word of God, to take the Lord at his word and to embrace it and to accept it. He wants to justify himself, and so he continues and says to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Perhaps there were those that he did not want to treat as himself. And he wanted an excuse. And so he asks for one. But Jesus does not make a business of giving excuses for people to use. He offers his cross. And to face the hardness of life, to face the cost and shame and embarrassment. And so he has a story for him and tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. Jerusalem to Jericho, about a 17-mile journey, would take about 8 hours to walk. And so it's a day. Many of the priests lived in Jericho and they would walk to Jerusalem, but it was a dangerous place at the time. And it was well known that there were robbers that were lying in wait. Maybe they set some traps for people to come so that they would have the things stolen from them. And so, a very relatable story to these people. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. They took everything he had. They hurt him, and they left him half dead. Two came by that way, a priest and a Levite. Both of them saw, both of them noticed, and both of them chose to walk on the other side. We could speculate what reasons they would have, but maybe we think about the reasons we have for the opportunities that come to us. They perhaps were worried about their ceremonial uncleanness with his blood dripping, and maybe if he would die in their arms, they would not be able to go to the temple to worship. Or maybe they just didn't want to get dirty. Or maybe they were in a rush and they had to hurry to be on time. In any case, they passed by. And this made an impression on the man that made this question. He noticed and he recognized that they weren't being true neighbors. But then the person that he didn't expect to come around the corner was a Samaritan, one that he probably despised, that the Jews had a reputation for despising. As he journeyed, he came where this man was. And he went into action. That's what compassion is. It's being aware of somebody else's distress along with a desire to address it and to make it right. It's not just a feeling of you're hurt for somebody or you feel bad about something. But it's both that awareness and that consciousness of somebody else's struggle together with a desire to make it right. And so look how Jesus talks about this man. There's not a phrase where a verb isn't said. He came and looked on him. And he saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Compassion is not only the heart for somebody else's struggle, but a willingness to help. And that's the difference between people that pass by and a neighbor. At the end of the story, Jesus asks the man the question, "Which now of these three thinkest thou?" Again, putting it into his court. The things that you hear, the things that I hear, the things that this man could hear, that Jesus could say, in spinning a very compelling argument, they only go so far. What truly affects the heart and what truly affects the life is what is believed and what is acknowledged and what you open the door to. Do I open the door to the Word? What do I think? Where am I? Again, a connection with the garden. That was the Lord's question to Adam when he was hiding, when he was in need, when he was in struggle, when he was ashamed. Where are you? What do you think? Scripture says in Romans, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The answer's not far away. Across the sea, or some distant land, or some exotic or spectacular teaching. It's simple truth. It's simple faith. And coming to terms with, yes, that's right. So, lawyer, what do you think? Which now of these three was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. The lawyer had to acknowledge that this man's neighbor was a Samaritan. Probably the one that he didn't want to show mercy to. Probably the one that he didn't want to treat like himself. But he had to acknowledge, yes, he is my neighbor too. But then Jesus just raises it up 10 times, 100 times, millions of times. And Jesus said unto him, not just now you know who your neighbor is, but go and do thou likewise. You be the outcast that pours yourself out for somebody else. You be the person that says it's not so important I know who my neighbor is and who my neighbor isn't, but that I am a good neighbor and I'm neighborly and that I can be an outcast, I can be ridiculed and scorned and still willing to go that extra mile, willing to give of myself, willing to have compassion. What a huge turnaround that is. The man wanted to know what was right and what to do and what the rules were. And Jesus taught him how to be, how to live. And that's the lesson that Jesus wants for us. To know how to be, to know how to live. And we're in awe. We're in awe of the beautiful parallels that can be drawn from this passage. In a way, we could all connect with this man coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. Hurt, wounded, stolen from, left for dead. But there's one that the world mocks and scorns, who probably has his own things that he could be doing, that notices and has an awareness of our distress and also wanted to do something about it. And took action and came to our help and to our aid. Came to us, bound us up, all of our wounds, pouring in the oil and his wine. Giving him transport, bringing him to a place where we could be cared for, and took care of him. He departed and provided so that this man could be cared for. Could that be connected with Christ departing, leaving his spirit and the gifts for the church to exercise, to care for souls in his stead? And when he comes back, he will repay. Jesus was rejected far more, and he loved far more. And we learn about him, and we learn about us, and we learn to be thankful. And when our hearts accept it in a simple faith, we want to follow. We want to follow him because it's right. So many reminders from a very familiar passage. And hopefully with God's help, the Spirit could lay upon each of our hearts something that we can take with us, that we can put into action, that we might be the neighbor that the Lord desires for us to be, to help one another in our time of need. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
We heard in this message this evening that this conversation between Jesus and this lawyer really did not have to extend to the length that it did. If the lawyer just simply accepted that the path to eternal life was simply to, as he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, if he just accepted that, the conversation would have been over. But we read that this man, this lawyer, was willing to justify himself. He was willing to lift up himself, trying to hear an answer that would make him think better about himself. And the answer that Jesus gave him, we can imagine, is not the answer that this lawyer was expecting. This lawyer wanted to justify himself, wanted to go away feeling better. I don't think he expected Jesus to tell him when Jesus is teaching, who is our neighbor. I don't think he expected Jesus to give the example of a Samaritan helping a complete stranger who fell among thieves. This man might have been expecting an answer from Jesus saying, oh, your neighbor is those whom you're close with, those whom you know very well, those whom you maybe grew up with, those who you're closely related to, those are your neighbors. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that our neighbor is anyone that's in need. If we have the ability to fulfill that need, then that person is our neighbor. And we are blinded to this. We are blinded to this this thought of who our neighbor is if we are willing to justify ourselves, if we are self-righteous. We know that there's no group of people that Jesus spoke against more than the Pharisees. Just a few chapters later, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus is speaking about the love of money. Very simple teaching here, where Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Very simple. And it says that the Pharisees who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. They derided Jesus. They loved money so much they did not recognize it. And they derided Jesus for speaking against their love of money. And Jesus just tells them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." So if we justify ourselves, lift up ourselves, we won't see the needs of others. We won't even recognize them. We'll be so distracted with our own wants and desires that we won't even recognize when others are in need. And maybe if we do recognize a need, we'll just say, "Oh, I don't know them very well. I didn't grow up with this person. Let someone else who's closer to them take care of that." When maybe we have the means to provide for that need. And maybe God is expecting from us to provide for that need. It could be a complete stranger in need. That's why it's so important to be in tune with God, to be walking a life of faith day by day. Then these needs will become evident to us. And God's expecting us to fulfill these needs as we are able. So may we take this familiar passage that we have read this evening, let's take it with us and think, what opportunities are there that God is expecting us to serve him? There are times that we see a need and we don't fulfill it, and then it hurts later. It hurts us because we recognize God was showing us an opportunity to serve him, and we dropped the ball. We could have done better. So let's take these opportunities as they come our way and serve the Lord our God, for he is worthy. May God add a blessing to his word this evening. Amen.